This is Money Moves on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Here, Money Moves, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, Sirius XM channel 158. Had a great conversation talking all things World Cup with U.S. men's national team legend, Hall of Famer Eric Winalda a little bit earlier, breaking down tonight's big game with Team USA against Belgium. We have another match set to get underway in just a few minutes with Portugal and Spain still to come this hour. Best bets rounding out the day at the end of the show. We got a little WNBA, we got a little college football, Major League Baseball, lots still to come over the course of the next hour. But let's hit quickly as the teams are on the pitch, getting ready to go for Portugal and Spain. We talked about it earlier. Spain barely had to break a sweat in the round of 32. Meanwhile, Portugal with a close call. How do you see this one playing out?
Played Spain to win a nil. So let's just plus 230 or so, and let's just see what happens. But look, obviously, I don't think they're going to go through this whole tournament without allowing a goal. But as we have discussed, and to your point about Ronaldo, I thought he gave us a great breakdown from a forward's perspective on what exactly Ronaldo can't do that is holding this offense back. And so if we have an offense that has been somewhat stuck in the mud with the way that they have played, especially, again, you look at some of the expected goals metric, much of the expected goals that Portugal has generated have been through one game, and that was against Uzbekistan. The rest of these games, they've really, really scuffled. I think that this is going to be a really good matchup for Spain to, again, kind of keep their sheet clean and get this done. So it's plus 230, so it's a small dog. But I thought it was worth playing at least because I really like the way the Spain team is playing on that end.
Similar thought process. I just ended up playing Spain on the three-way money line here to win in regulation, get it done. I think this is, to your point, more of a lower scoring 2-0, 2-1 maybe, though, type of a game if Portugal could get on the board, which wouldn't surprise me, at least based on the history between these two teams. That said, Spain is the way I'm playing it, so we'll keep tabs on this one as we go. They are underway now out there in Dallas.
Throw it up.
Yeah, we got it. We got to get it on the screen.
So I can be distracted.
In here. No, but it's honestly, I know I give you grief for the random, we'll be having a full conversation. And you're like, those things, but it does help us to keep tabs on it for our audience. So it's important. I'll give you some credit.
I do it for you.
I'll give you credit.
And unlike you, I can multitask when it comes to my mind.
I have also decided to pull the trigger on Team USA following our conversation with Eric, which by the way, as well, Money Moves, you can download Money Moves after each hour right away. So if you missed any of that conversation, you want to listen to it in its entirety, download Money Moves wherever you get your podcast. What are you thinking or saying here?
We might need an update here because, again, we talked about the rough start. It is continuing. A solo shot for Sal Perez off of Christopher Sanchez. Royals are up 7-1 right now, and Christopher Sanchez is having a rough day today. I wanted to look to see. Let's see. Yeah, Jacob Izurowski's out to minus 475 to win National League Cy Young. Jeez. Christopher Sanchez plus 490, but he is getting smoked today by the Kansas City Royals. Has been charged with all 7 of the earned runs.
Jeez. Again, we mentioned it last segment, but it was 6-1 after a single inning, and you're like, no way this is how Christopher Sanchez starts, but he's had a couple not himself outings and keeping it going today against the Royals. Back to the World Cup, though. I didn't give you a big opportunity earlier because we ran out of time in the first hour to break down what happened with England and Mexico yesterday. A very chaotic match.
Yeah.
A great watch, by the way. But as somebody who is a Mexico fan, how did you feel watching things as it went?
Somewhat sad. I mean, that kind of stunk. Like that was a fun Mexico team. Like they were absolutely a well-coached group that really liked to play together, had some good upstanding talent, but also just, you know, you get the perfect mix of not only a team that had really been well-coached, but also playing on their home pitch, and you get that kind of environment. And by the way, I'll just say this, the non-betting thing very quickly, and you'll appreciate this as somebody who works in the format to an extent. That was one of the games from a live sporting event that I can remember that really allowed the environment to translate very well over the television screen. Does that make sense? Like you really got a sense of what those English guys were dealing with out there. So I had a ton of
they
fun watching
beer
it.
Thrown on them after a goal.
Like it was absolutely insane. But look, I think statistically, if you're Mexico, you probably feel like you not deserve better, but could have had a better opportunity. Those two goals that you give up are just absolutely brutal. One of them, you just defensively, I don't know if you saw, they were arguing with each other. You just kind of lose somebody on the far post and you don't understand like who has him, who had to pick him up, and you ultimately give up that goal. And then the other one almost immediately afterward. But I think for England, the push forward here, I think for the English is a couple of things. But the first of which is we had talked about them playing better than what they were given credit for heading into that game. And I thought you saw some of that in that matchup against Mexico. And I think the other thing is now, it's pretty interesting, is spinning this forward to that match against Norway. Because from a pricing standpoint, I do think it's pretty fascinating where we're at from the England just to qualify, things like that. And it seems somewhat, because I think I'm not, and I want to ask our guy Alex about this. I think I want to ask Patrick about this. When you've got such a big presence, like physically and figuratively, in Erling Haaland in the middle of your offense that is just in that box, poaching shot attempts and getting headers and just being bigger than everybody, this is a relatively big English group. Mm-hmm. And so I think that they can somewhat negate what Haaland does really well. I am going to be really curious to see how this gets bet, because I think the English are a really good team, and I think they match up well, but I want to see how that plays out in the way that this thing gets bet.
The price for England, around $2 to advance. Norway plus 165, just on the 90-minute line. England minus 115, Norway 3-1, draw plus 270. But to your point, I know we were talking about what that price was like against Mexico,
yeah,
and how it felt like maybe Estadio Azteca and the altitude,
the record, where the elevation.
Yes, the record, which, by the way, this was just the third home defeat in 90 matches for Mexico in that building, that maybe that was priced in a little bit too much. And you look at this one, you're like, oh, okay, are we, I mean, Norway, are they better than Mexico? Because I think they are. And yet we're seeing this price be the way what it is for England. So
yeah,
it's interesting.
So, yeah, when it's, that's two. I don't want to overreact just like the basic price, because I think exactly what we're talking about here was very much baked into that England-Mexico game, which was the environment, where they were playing, the altitude, everything like that. The fact that they had to take the blue pills to get out there and get everything done. By the way, were you, I don't know, because you were in and out of consciousness, did you watch the game?
I was napping. That's what he meant. Yes, yeah. I did. We had this. Well, it was fortunate that it was the evening game, so I was more awake then.
Because at one point on the broadcast, at the beginning, the I don't know who it was, which one of them it was. I can't remember if it was play-by-play or analyst. But they go, you know, and the English are having to deal with this environment, especially when it comes to the altitude, allowed to take certain things that you can't exactly expand upon. I'm like, you could say Viagra. What's the problem? Maybe it's a branding thing. But I thought it was incredible because they were dancing around it the whole time. But either way, I'm really interested, obviously, because this is, now we're getting down to the nitty and the gritty, right?
Yeah.
You have all these great teams, you know, to build on that, and we can bring up the golden boot.
We will.
Haaland was brilliant in that game against Brazil, doing what he was doing, just being a big physical force in the box and getting those scoring opportunities for him. And now we're alive, baby.
Okay. Yeah, sorry, I wasn't trying to cut you off. I was just waiting for you to finish so that I could do what I need to do. I hate you so much right now.
What's happening?
So with that, you mentioned Erling Haaland scores twice yesterday. They eliminate Brazil. Joins the likes now of Lionel Messi and Kylian Mbappe at the top of the Golden Boot discussion. A three-way tie for the lead now. Harry Kane, also in that England match, scores on a penalty. His goal scoring tally at 6. We've got some odds shifting in the market. Are we in agreement? Let's break it down. Play that open.
Odds move up, odds move down. Let's see where the odds are moving today, and do you approve this move?
All right. Do you approve the move of where some of these numbers are going for the Golden Boot? Starting with, might as well hit your boy Erling Haaland, who, as we just mentioned, is part of that three-way tie from 20-1 this time, 4 days ago, July 2nd, to now July 6th, plus 450, 6-1 in the market.
I mean, he's got to be, just given the fact that he has 7 and is tied for the lead. The problem, obviously, is you are projected to lose this game. So, let's say he gets you another brace in a losing effort, if it's like 3-2, is that going to be enough when all the other guys, no, I shouldn't say all the other guys, the expectation is that Kylian Mbappe, Lionel Messi, and of course, if you lose the head-to-head to Harry Kane, that those that are in direct competition with you will be moving on.
I did love, by the way, the command he had of the entire crowd after the match with the drum for the Viking row. That was awesome. And then also, I mean, our producer Justin sent us the video of the Norwegian army showing their row skills all across the country. Like, they're on a jet, they're on a mountain.
Yep. You know?
Very, very cool. But how about the move for Harry Kane? So his odds get longer despite scoring a goal on the penalty, as we mentioned, from around 7-1 plus 750 out to 10-1, 11-1, depending on where you look here. He is a goal back, but they are big favorites now to advance.
They are, but and he's going to have maybe more opportunity, obviously, but yeah, even though he's one behind, he doesn't seem to have the explosive nature in terms of his ability to score. Does that make sense? I mean, you know, we've seen Haaland bust out a couple of braces. We've seen what Lionel Messi can do with the hat trick and a brace as well, even coming off the bench in a lone opportunity in group play and still getting a goal there. there seems to be more explosive upside in getting braces and hat tricks with some of these guys. Not that Harry Kane can't do it, but just the way that he plays, I think it's more about some of these guys and their ability to create on their own as opposed to going out there and getting it done the way that Harry Kane does, if that makes sense.
How do you feel about Kylian Mbappe and Lionel Messi at the top of this thing right now? Mbappe's odds actually got a little bit longer on DraftKings, shorter on FanDuel, but out to plus 130 and even money on FanDuel right now. Messi plus 160, plus 165, so his odds a little bit longer as well. Both of them tied at 7, despite Argentina, and maybe this is because they still have to play their round of 16 match, but yep. They get Egypt and then the winner of Switzerland, Colombia. Meanwhile, France and Mbappe in the top spot, they have to go through Morocco here in the quarters.
Yeah, I mean, I think you obviously because of the way that he can play here, but I think you like Messi's path a little bit, don't you, to win this thing? Because if you play Switzerland, I think that's a team that you can score on to an extent, or at least generate opportunities if you're going to be able to move past Egypt and get it done. Don't turn your nose up at Egypt because that's a pretty talented group at the top too. So you have to win that game first, but I think you'll like the opportunity that's in front of Messi pretty well here if you're reading the room.
Yeah, Egypt's done a really nice job defensively so far in the World Cup, so certainly something to take into consideration there between the two, and I am somebody with a Kylian Mbappe ticket. Messi looks like the better spot to me. Both tied at 7, like I said. Mbappe, Messi, Erling Haaland, all with 7. Harry Kane with 6. Okay, we got to step aside here real quickly on Money Moves when we come back. Gonna dive into college football a little bit here. A lot of big-name transfer quarterbacks this offseason with Brendan Sorsby out of this thing. Let's talk about some of the other guys who could make a big impact with their respective teams. Stick around. More Money Moves coming up next on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Hey, let me get your attention real quick, podcast listeners. I've got something for you that feels too good to be true. First, credit where credit is due. If you're listening to this podcast, you're already leveling up your betting game. You're riding along with our best bets and top angles. And when there's a good game on, you're probably getting involved with a few props and alt markets as well. But there's one more layer if you really want to step things up, and that's VSiN Pro. Yeah, I've mentioned it before, but things are only getting better for our pro subscribers. We just rolled out our MLB prop projections, breaking down some of the best edges across strikeouts, hits, home runs, and more. And that's on top of everything else pro subscribers already get, including public betting splits, expert picks, and betting guides across the sports calendar. If you haven't tried it yet, stop sleeping on it. You can get your first month for just $9.99 or save big with promo code POD26 on an annual subscription. Hit the link in the description and start cashing in with VSiN Pro. All right, now back to the show.
You're watching Money Moves here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Here, Money Moves, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, Sirius XM, channel 158, alongside Jonathan Von Tobel, Stormy Bonantoni with you. We're live in downtown Las Vegas, Circa Resort and Casino World Cup on our screens here. We are still tied 0-0 in the 15th minute of Portugal and Spain. Both of us backing Spain in some way, shape, or form. I have Spain just to win. You have Spain to win to nil specifically. You got
to
a nice plus money price on that bad boy.
Yeah, I mean, there's a reason. So we're taking a little bit of a risk here. They do have the edge so far, the Spaniards do in expected goals on the early going. Had a shot from just outside of the box that was forced to be saved. Same thing, though, with Portugal. So we are exchanging back and forth, and we will see a very big missed opportunity as well. This one's not going to count as a shot on goal, but early on, essentially a missed goal by the Spanish forward goes wide of the right upright. So kicking yourself. Got to get this done here if you're these colonizers, which you might have an opportunity right as we speak to get this done. And that's a great save. And on a rebound, they're going to put another one on. Incredible back-to-back saves for the Portuguese goaltender, just like that. But the Spanish are really putting it on him right now.
That's a good sign, at least in terms of pressure for the way we played this thing.
Wow.
But two great saves on opposite ends of the goal, too. So well, hopefully they can keep the pressure on and get us
just barely got it with
get
his
one
hand.
Past this freak of nature. We also, so I know we've been keeping tabs on everything that has been live. For the dog days of summer, we've had a lot of actually really good, interesting stuff going on. The World Cup has kept us super motivated. It's not like we just have daily baseball, although we've had plenty of that as well. We were talking about the way that the Phillies have started today. Some intrigue there. A near perfect game yesterday with a player yanked with Yuri Perez. I was a little upset about it, but I think a lot of us just as baseball fans
You and the rest of the 75-year-olds were very pissed.
I'm a very old 33-year-old. What can I say? That said, we also start looking ahead,
Babe Ruth would have stayed in the game.
Football season is going to be here before we know it. Our NFL betting guide is out now, and you and I are both very big college football people.
Kids these days.
While Brendan Sorsby has largely dominated the conversation this offseason as far as transfer portal quarterbacks go, there are a lot of big name guys who are on the move this offseason, and thus has created a little bit of interesting conversation about which ones we think could make the biggest impact this year, some Heisman Trophy odds and the like. Any one in particular?
Spin it out, Storm. What are we doing? We're looking at the transfer quarterbacks. You know what I was amazed at?
What?
I was looking around. This is only because we have to think of ideas for things, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. And so I was looking around at updated information. The only reason why I wanted to talk about this today is I was like, huh, DJ Lagway's at Baylor now, huh? Like, I had no idea until I was reading this morning. And I was like, holy smokes, totally didn't realize that he was out there. And it made me think we got a bunch of new transfers. I have all of these guys. There's a lot of intrigue. But DJ Lagway, I am most intrigued by him.
Well, go ahead.
I was just going to say, he busts out onto the scene against Georgia.
Yep.
Everybody thinks he's going to be, don't say it, the bleeps. And he's ultimately not. Paul Howard somewhere is like, yes. Really flames out.
Injuries derail him last season.
Sure. That's what I'm kind of curious about is. So we have DJ Lagway, national championship odds for Baylor, 250-1. Conference is 39-1. Wins for Baylor, 5.5, over minus 166. Heisman, 80-1. The whole point you're being is, what if everybody was right and DJ Lagway actually is super talented? Should we be taking a long shot on DJ Lagway? We talked about this last week. I shouldn't say you never. A lot of times you don't see the Heisman winner coming.
Sure. Yeah. We've seen long odds before. I mean, what was Fernando Mendoza last year? Around 80-1, right? So yeah, similar pricing here for Lagway. I just don't see Baylor as a team putting themselves in that position to be in the conversation. You keep Dave Aranda, although I do really like Jake Spavadal as an offensive coordinator, and maybe he can be a good pair with DJ Lagway if he stays healthy. We're going to, over the coming weeks, do deep dives on a lot of teams, deep dives on a handful of conferences. We're going to have our Money Moves College Football Top 25 reveal, all of that stuff. Baylor is not a team on the top of my list as a as a contender.
No.
So I think in order to have your quarterback be in position, they're a team that you have to have a certain expectation of how many wins they're going to have. They're going to contend in the conference, things like that.
Okay, so I acquiesce to you as a college football sideline reporter who has worked many of these games, seen many of these guys, talked to them. Did you ever have Josh Hoover? TCU?
Several times.
Okay. So I'm glad because I wanted to ask you about this. Out of all the times that our boy over there in Indiana has landed these transfer quarterbacks, right? We can go back to, you know, to Rourke and then last year with Mendoza. This has been the one where I don't understand. And I understand the blind trust in Kurt Cignetti and what he has done up to this point. But my man, Josh Hoover, is a turnover machine, or he was when he played for TCU.
He's a gunslinger, so it's high risk, high reward.
And at least guys like Mendoza and Rourke, when they played, they actually had, you saw the upside. You saw what it was. Like Rourke had, I think it was the ACL injury when he was with Ohio, but you saw the upside there when he was playing there. You saw it when he was at Cal, Mendoza. I just, like, is he fixable? Are we just blindly believing that Cignetti's going to turn around Josh Hoover to the point where he's going to be fine? Because I saw, because the whole point here being is, when I was reading the headlines about this, I remember when the transfer happened, and then now looking into it more, there's just this, what a great land. And I'm like, I guess my man's got, what, 41 turnovers in 30, what, games? Like, it was a nightmare at times.
31 starts. 33 picks, 9 lost fumbles.
Okay.
So,
42 turnovers in 31 starts. Yeah.
So, it's not ideal numbers, but I don't think it's fair to say you can't see the upside, because you absolutely can with him. And you're going to be in a position here where the full complement of talent around you is going to help your cause, I think, to an extent. And we've seen it, to your point, though, the last couple years, what Kurt Cignetti has been able to get out of these guys. It's not like Fernando Mendoza was a finished product coming over here from Cal either, okay? Mm-hmm. He had lots of issues. He had turnover problems as well, not to the extent of Josh Hoover.
Right.
But you have a player in Hoover who is very capable, who has a rocket of an arm. Like, this dude can throw it downfield, set you up for success, hypothetically, if you can just bring those turnovers down a third of the way, you're going to be in really good shape. So I actually like it. I'm not a huge Josh Hoover person in general because, I mean, like I said, I've unfortunately for him had a lot of his bad games. But
okay, there you go. See,
but I do think he's a good leader. He's an established veteran. He's played a lot of college football. He's got a ton of reps under his belt. And I think all of those things paired with a good complement of talent around him can set this team up for success again, especially with the fact that this defense is supposed to be pretty awesome.
Okay. So those are the two that really, I thought out of these four, really stuck out to me. The other, and we can get to Darian Minsa. The reason I put him up there, obviously he's one of these transfer quarterbacks, but also we talked a little bit about Miami last week. But the other thing was, I will say that my pig-headed brain immediately went to Sam Levitt, 20-1 to win the Heisman with Lane Kiffin as his head coach.
That's the one I wanted to bring up.
Yeah, okay, go.
So he is another player that I've seen a lot of because I've covered so much Big 12 the last couple years. Awesome dual threat, super athletic. When he is healthy, dynamic playmaker. He has extreme confidence as well, more than a lot of young players I've seen in college football. Just really knows himself, has a ton of confidence in what he brings to the field. And with Charlie Weiss, who is a guy who we've seen get the most out of guys like Jackson Dart and Trinidad Chambliss, why can't he do that for a guy who is already a much more well-rounded product on the surface?
Yeah. Like, out of all these guys in the new spots with the new play callers and dudes that are working with them, I think the one that I have really strong faith that it is going to be a very good fit, that you're going to hit the ground running. You mentioned health, which is important.
His injury is what derailed their season.
Correct. So, I mean, I'm kind of down with like Levitt and LSU, and I think that's kind of a low hanging fruit type opinion, but I'm not afraid to have it when you look at what the upside could be and what Lane's done at times throughout his career as a head coach. So at 20-1 for an SEC quarterback at the head of LSU with the upside that Levitt has shown throughout his career, I mean, that seems like a pretty tempting proposition for you. And it's still kind of in those parameters of like middle range, longer shot Heisman Trophy odds that have come out from before the season started and gone on to win it.
And we talked, what was it, maybe 2 weeks ago, about like Heisman Trophy in general. And like you said, like you want to target these double digit guys regardless, but especially the mid range to longer shots. We've actually seen those cash the last handful of years. It's not CJ Carr and Arch Manning are your favorites right now, but we've only seen one actual favorite in the preseason go on to ultimately win that award in the last like 14 years, or it might have been 17 years, whatever it was. It was only Marcus Mariota in that time frame. So just keep that in mind as you're shopping at some of these in some of these different markets. I know the other one that you have on here is Miami, and they're no stranger to going big game hunting, right? We saw Cam Ward a couple years ago, Carson Beck, obviously, and now Darian Minsa, kind of the next in that trilogy. What did you think of that pickup?
I mean, I like Darian Minsa a ton. I think when we're talking about this from the perspective of Heisman for sure, as we talk about 12-1, national championship, everything that's coming back, I think you're pretty keen that this team in the ACC is going to be pretty competitive. But as we had hit on the one time, you got Malachi Toney there, you're going to be directly competing with one of your teammates for this award. You think they'd be in a pretty tough spot, by the way, much like Christopher Sanchez is, because he just gave up another earned run.
No way.
Brutal.
8-1 right now. Royals up on the Phillies here.
Feeling like an absolute loser, much like I would be if I missed out on this 4th of July special that I think is still in action.
Before I do that, I say much like I would as somebody who talked about betting over and didn't play it, because that's over now. But yes, so I'm glad that you brought up the 4th of July special, because part of all of our coverage coming up in the next month or two, if you're a VSiN Pro subscriber, you'll get our college football betting guide. Now, I'm not sure this is going to be a la carte. I'm pretty sure you have to be a full-time subscriber to get it, just like you do for the NFL betting guide. But we have a special going on for a little over 24 hours here. It ends after tomorrow. For just $299, you can get 2 full years of VSiN Pro access. So that's nearly 70% off what our regular monthly price is when you go to vsin.com/subscribe now to lock in this deal. But like I said, this bad boy ends tomorrow. vsin.com/subscribe to join us on a full-time basis. You get unlimited access to the articles, the prop tools, the bet splits, and of course, your favorite, the picks page, vsin.com/subscribe.
Watching Money Moves here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The sports calendar never stops, and the Sharp Plays covers it all, winning for 15 straight years, all of it documented. Logs posted publicly at sharpplays.com. That kind of transparency, rare in the industry. When the Sharp Plays moves, the sports books take notice. Advanced AI, trusted insider intel, they're finding value before numbers shift. Start winning with them today over at sharpplays.com. That's sharpplays.com.
Just wanted to point something out. We're going to have more on the Summer League tomorrow. But shop around for these futures odds, as we always kind of talk about. But you do get a lot of variance in a league, we'll call it. It is technically a league. It's Summer League. That these teams are getting put together last minute, and the way they're getting priced is going to vary from place to place. So the Jazz are a good example. It's not the biggest difference in the world, Storm. But over at DraftKings, the Jazz are the favorite to win the Las Vegas Summer League at 8-1. The Grizzlies are the +750 favorite over at BetMGM, 9-1, getting back on the Jazz. So just look around. You know, you can find some different variants and numbers, and wait for spots like FanDuel to post as well, because you can get some of those. And you know what? I'm going to look today. I would fancy a guess that the prediction markets would also be all over the place on who is going to win the NBA Summer League and what you could trade at there, too. So we'll have some more on this from a future standpoint, but this had just stuck out to me because there is a team that we will discuss tomorrow that I think is worth betting, and I am waiting for approval from one Zach Cohen, but he has not responded in the group chat yet. So
okay. We'll see. Real quickly, I guess, while we're on basketball, do you have anything in the W today? Because I know we've got three games, and I did see specifically for the Sun-Lynx game that our Rookie of the Year stud, Olivia Miles, is going to miss this game. How does that change things for you?
Okay, so game-wise, it does. I don't have anything on it, to be quite honest with you. But it does speak to, so this morning, too, and I was kind of poking around on some stuff, and I wanted to bring this up tomorrow. You know, we're always trying to find that long shot, like, you know, we can make the case of it. Mm-hmm. So I was just wondering if would there ever be a moment, because we got news about 4 days ago or so, 3 days ago, we didn't cover it, it's our fault, that Nafisa Collier is back at practice. And so that Collier is potentially making her way back pretty soon here for the Lynx. Their All-Star break is coming up. Could you look up the exact WNBA All-Star break for me? Because it's usually around this time. So maybe post-All-Star break, we get Nafisa Collier coming back. Maybe Olivia Miles' production takes a small backseat. And the reason why I bring this up is AZ Fudd, over the weekend, had 17 points, shot 37% from the floor, but most of that, you know, 5-11 from three-point range. If you look at her last few games, has scored 20-plus in two of the last five and 17-plus in three of the last five, so that doesn't make sense. Whatever it is, she's been scoring better.
All-Star break, by the way, July 23rd to the 27th.
Okay, so that's coming up, too. So I just wonder if maybe the door is being not cracked open, because, again, Olivia Miles has done such a good job up to this point, but you do wonder if AZ Fudd, who has shown some improvement on offense, and has really just shown the ability to shoot the ball very well, then maybe she can kind of wiggle her way into that race. But no, I did not have anything on that that one, too. There's also a lot of interesting, like, make-miss playoff odds for the WNBA.
Okay, like, well, I mean, we can do a deep dive on that this week if you want to.
Yeah, we should do that, because the tempo, I wanted to text Doug, but then Doug Kazeri didn't text me back last time. And then I saw him in person. I said, why didn't you text me back, bro? And then he said, sorry. And then he brought his dog to the bar. It was like a whole thing.
He does that a lot. Although that's a good, I mean, he's a very well-behaved dog. I'll give him that.
Arthur, my theory is that Arthur actually fears for his life the entire time. And so that's why he's very well-behaved.
I used to genuinely love when Doug would do SportsCenter hits on ESPN and Arthur was just sitting like a foot behind him on the stool.
Right.
Just like, okay, time for the dog of the day.
Right.
But anyway, I mean, he would just sit there so well-behaved, smiling.
Okay. Like, so here's the comp though. So Stormy, I'm going to put you on a very small platform. About 20 feet in the air. Guess what you're going to do?
He's not scared.
Guess what you're going to do?
No way he's scared.
Guess what you're going to do?
No way he's scared.
You're going to stand there.
One last thing, though. So I'll list off these odds for you, at least for today. But with that Olivia Miles injury out with the calf today, the Lynx are still 11.5 point favorites against the Sun. Connecticut is the worst team in the league. The T-Shoe Index, our guy Tyler Shoemaker, he was on the program with us on Friday.
He went to Hogs and Heifers over the weekend.
Did he? But not with you.
I was there. He was there.
You told me that you went by yourself.
I went in the Uber by myself, and he was there.
I'm tired of the lies.
I'm
tired of the lies.
Like, no. Somebody told me, oh, my wife won't let me go. And I was like, okay.
I don't know what you're talking about.
It's your husband.
Yeah, but I didn't say that you can't go.
Somebody's lying to me.
It's not me. I'll tell you that. That is, any husbands out there, please tweet at us, at MeJVT, at Storm Bon and Tony. Any husbands, you know. And like, correct me if I'm wrong. If you don't want to do something, it's easier for you to blame your wife than to say you don't want to go. So you can just make it up and say, oh, yes, Stormy said I can't go. Storm said I can't go.
Worth pointing out.
That would never happen.
Sounds like you. It's worth pointing out that to the Sun matchup that you're talking about, too, that they have covered three straight, and the Lynx are probably at the top of their market.
So what I was going to say is Tyler Shoemaker has great articles out each and every day over VSiN.com breaking down the WNBA cards. The T-Shoe Index had the Lynx minus 18 if Miles played, drops to 10 in his numbers with her out. So 11.5, that would be a play on the Sun for Inquiring Minds. Also, Valkyries minus 5.5 in Washington taking on the Mystics, and the Seattle Storm getting 4.5, that is, in L.A. taking on the Sparks.
Talk about one of the hotter teams in the league when you talk about betting them. Valkyries have won and covered four straight right now. You zoom out a little bit more, that is a six out of the last eight that they have covered. So they have been on a run. Now, a lot of that has come both at home and against the Atlanta Dream. Three of their last four have been against Atlanta, and two of those were out there in San Francisco. But they have been playing really, really well and have found themselves near the top of the standings in the WNBA. So they've been a cover machine lately, and if you want to keep that rolling, you can. They were a good under team for a while as well. That kind of dried up, at least in their last matchup. But if you go for the totals on the season, you're even. But if you go in recent stretch, I think that we have six out of the last eight or seven out of the last nine have gone under the total for the Valkyries.
All right, let's get into a little Major League Baseball here. We do have one game in action right now. Christopher Sanchez got rocked early. Getting Royals murked. Up 8-1 right now, hosting the Phillies. Philly closed around minus 230 favorites in this game. So good for Kansas City, what they've been able to do in the fourth inning now. Pushing it forward, another stud pitcher hoping not to have this kind of day. Cam Schlittler going for the New York Yankees, taking on Tampa Bay and Griffin Jacks. Virtual pick'em game, low total with these pitchers at 7.5 as well. But for the Yankees, it has been a tough go of late, to say the least. JVT, I want to say it's, 12 of their last 15 or thereabouts that they have dropped now to this point. Back-to-back games after dropping a series with the Twins, got swept by the Tigers, got swept by the Red Sox. And we talked about it late last week. Is this something that we feel like is going to be thematic now moving forward for them? Should we be concerned in terms of the Yankees and some of those different ways that people have played them, postseason, division, all of that kind of stuff? Or is this just a streak? It's a streaky game and they'll get over it. It continues.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's a long season, so the ebbs and flows, peaks and valleys, whatever cliches you want to use to represent the ups and downs of a year are going to happen for a team. Now, injuries are part of this, so that's going to be something that is worth mentioning for the Yankees, so maybe there's not an expiration date until everybody's healthy and there. But you talk about Cam Schlittler, and it did not look great for him last time out, so you're looking for a bounce back here. And in fact, now, in the start against Boston, he did not get charged for the four earned runs, but still has given up on his watch 10 runs total in his last two starts, has been charged with six of them, and all six of them came against Detroit in the last start. The team that you refuse to say is alive for a potential spot in the American League.
I didn't say they're not alive. I just said that I don't want to bet them to make the playoffs.
Four dongs, six earned runs allowed for Cam Schlittler last time out. Five strikeouts to one walk, so it's this positive strikeout to walk ratio there. But you've got to bounce back in a really big way because you were not good the last time out if you were Cam. The interesting part about this, and I would very much lean on the side of New York if you're trying to chase the regression monster that has been sitting upon the shoulders of one Griffin Jacks, who gets the start. Since he has been inserted into the starting lineup, a 2.65 ERA, Stormy. It's really good. Really good for Griffin Jacks. However, he's got a 5.15 expected ERA, a 4.09 fielding independent. One would assume that at some point his transgressions will come to roost and he will have to pay for those. Barrel rate of over 10.5%, hard hit rate of over 40%, but he's just one of those guys. We talk about this all the time when you look at pitching to contact, getting balls to just ground out, getting your defense involved. He's been one of those dudes, and these are one of those pitchers that I always have some trouble with. Every single indicator would say that Jacks at one point deserves to be dominated. Hasn't really happened. Last time out, six innings, three earned runs, got taken deep twice, but also struck out five on the road against Kansas City. I would say to me, banking on Schlittler to bounce back, coupled with the price that you're seeing here and Jax's regression kind of hanging over all of it, it would be Yankees or nothing.
Griffin Jacks from the United States Air Force Academy. The Padres, meanwhile.
Okay.
What?
Well, usually when I do that, it's like tied to me. I think it would be like, San Diego State or,
no,
you know, something.
No, same thing. The Padres finally stopped the bleeding yesterday. 5-2 win over the Dodgers after what was eight straight L's. Can they keep it rolling today?
No, I was going to make a reference, but I don't think it's a correct reference. Never mind. I don't know. You tell me. You're the Pod Squad fanatic. I would say with Walker Buehler, we've talked about him a lot. We've talked about the positive signs that have shown in some of his numbers. You have the 389 fielding independent, the 461 ERA, some signs of regression. But you talk about some of the beatdowns here. The last time I said Walker Buehler had some pretty solid things going for him, he coughed up 9 earned runs, got taken deep 3 times, walked 4, struck out 6 in 4 innings of just absolute, I don't know what you would call it, baseball murder. I mean, he was absolutely awful. A 20.25 ERA on the road against Chicago. He's obviously not that bad. So you would expect maybe back at home in a more comfortable environment, you can just draw a line through it and get back to it.
I hope so. Not a big Brandon Pfaadt fan either on the other side here for Arizona, but just the way that San Diego's been beaten up lately, you need a little positivity going. Let's see if Walker Buehler can get it for you today as they open up what is a 4-game set at Petco Park against the Diamondbacks. We got to step aside when we come back. Wrapping up this Monday edition of the program, Best Bets and more after this.
Kim Pendleton.
You're watching Money Moves here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This Monday edition of Money Moves, live from downtown Las Vegas, Circa Resort and Casino. He's Jonathan Von Tobel. I'm Stormy Bonantoni. We're still scoreless in the World Cup, approaching the half between Portugal and Spain. Kyle Stewart tweeted at me to ask you where the odds on DraftKings are for Summer League. He doesn't see them, but I just pulled it up and it's the first thing under NBA odds. So I would say just go to NBA. Summer League is actually the first tally, yep. And it has game lines and champion lines. So even for the California Classic and Salt Lake City games, they've got lines up right now.
There you go. And a question answered. Didn't ask you, but question answered.
Yeah, but I figured, you know, check it out. He also called you JBT. Is that worse than Jonathan no. Van Tobel? Or
no, because at least the B is right next to the V on the keyboard. So it makes some sense
fair.
You know what I mean? Like JBT happens all the time in text. Sometimes when people are speaking very quickly as well. So that happens. Or sometimes people get stuck and stumble and they call me just JT. But either way, a JBT is more acceptable just because the V is right next to it. Calling me Jonathan Van Tobel when it's an O, I don't take offense to it. I just don't understand how you see O and say Van. That's the thing that I've been confused by.
I know you don't take offense to it, but maybe you should. And I still stand by this. You should correct people if it's wrong, right?
Yeah,
like
important.
It's your name. I think your name is valuable, right? That's part of who you are.
I mean, I guess not really.
Okay.
Some people would argue differently.
I just like when people say my name in like very random ways and just throw in letters that don't exist there because they get confused with the B-U-O, I think, a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So then they just start throwing it all together and kind of give up at some point. Like Bucatoni is one I've gotten more than once, and I'm like, there's no C in my name, but it's fine.
I decided to selfishly search your mentions so I could get some content here. And as somebody pointed out, an old man along with you shaking his fist at the sun when it comes to the pulling of Yuri Perez in the midst of a perfect game. Very angry as well.
I'm not alone in this. This is a widespread national travesty.
I can't these days.
Let's get into, because I bring up the score on the World Cup right now, which we do have 6 minutes of added time here for the first half. Both of us pulling for Spain in some capacity. We'll have some best bets in a moment, but do want to do our due diligence and give another full preview on this USA-Belgium match set to come up later on tonight. Obviously, the big news, the red card rescinded for Flo Balogun, who has scored one goal in each game for the U.S. so far. Huge for them to be able to get him. And we saw an initial odds shift from USA to advance around minus 110, minus 115, all the way out to minus 140. We have since seen some buyback on Belgium. Team USA sitting minus 125 to advance. Belgium even money on the 90-minute line. The U.S. plus 155. Belgium plus 175. The draw price plus 240. Part of the argument in favor of Belgium, and I think at least in part why they've gotten played here, is for a lot of the rationale that Alex Crook gave earlier this morning on VSiN by the books. Take a listen to his breakdown of how Belgium might be approaching this thing.
Well, I think I've got to choose my words carefully here, but I think it's a shameful decision from FIFA to overturn this red card. Never before in World Cup history have we had it, so it's unprecedented. There isn't an appeals process against red cards like we have in the Premier League when it comes to a World Cup. Did I think it was a red card? Probably not. But having it been given, As I say, there is no precedent for it being overturned. Belgium have reacted angrily. They've released a statement this morning confirming their appeal. I think that appeal has probably gone in too late. But the harsh reality for me, and probably a lot of your viewers won't agree because obviously they've got US bias, Balogun should not be playing in this game. And I do wonder if it might work against the US because I was quite strong on the US to beat Belgium. I don't think Belgium are particularly a good team at this tournament, but it might just galvanize them, that injustice. So it could well backfire.
And we do have that information now that Belgium did appeal the red card being overturned. That appeal has been put to bed by FIFA, so Flo Balogun will play today. But I actually more so agree with what he said there at the end, that Belgium hasn't been particularly good for a team that had higher expectations coming into group play, hasn't really performed them, as you and Eric Winalda mentioned earlier on the show, an aging team as well. So I do have a couple bets on the U.S. today. I hope that that's the side that ends up being correct, and that and I also kind of hope just for our sake and to put to bed all of the chaos around this, that maybe the U.S. can win without Flo being the one that scores, right? Like, I think that would be the ideal situation in all of this.
No, but I mean, you have a gravity as a player, even if, you know, even if you don't score directly, right? Even if you don't contribute directly to the sheet.
But you know what I'm saying.
Well, sure. I think that either way, look, if you're denying whether or not this is fair, I mean, like, it's completely unfair. It's ridiculous that they were going to come out here and you just get a couple of phone calls. But this is FIFA. But I just buy more, and you know how I work. Okay, cool. You're super motivated. Does that make you faster? Sure. Does that make you stronger? Does that make you younger? No. I think all of the inherent advantages and disadvantages that were going into this matchup still are there, even if the Belgians are angry, upset, or whatever it is about what has transpired. And as we talk about all the time, and as I sarcastically point out, should the Belgians win? We're probably going to talk about this being, you know, they were very motivated because, and if they don't, it was everything that we had discussed in terms of their limitations as a roster and as a team. So I think Team USA is going to be able to get this done. Sorry, the U.S. men's national team. I know Team USA basketball. By the way, FIBA qualifiers today. You didn't mention anything about that, huh? Nothing? Just going to ignore me on that? Trust a bunch of G Leaguers to get us into the FIBA World Cup in 2027? It's a big deal. Anyway, I think Team USA is going to get this thing done.
I agree with you. So let's actually throw up the best bets here because I do have a couple plays in pocket here for Team USA. As we mentioned already, I am on Spain, minus 105 to win this thing in regulation. We are in now the 51st minute with that extra time here. Still nil-nil right now, but holding out hope for Spain to come through here. I also played the U.S. minus 125 against Belgium to advance, and I did a half a unit play, to advance, and then a half a unit play on them on the three-way money line plus 155. I did mix up the verbiage on this graphic, so I apologize, folks, on that one. But yes, playing them both ways here. I am in agreement with the fact that the U.S. is the better team, and I don't think just because you're mad that Belgium is all of a sudden going to be significantly better. Do you have any plays today?
No, I don't.
Why are you laughing?
I've already gotten you mad enough. I'm not going to do anything.
All right. Let's recap the weekend as well.
What would it take to get you?
You don't have any plays today, right?
What would it take to get you to watch USA-Mexico tonight at 7 p.m.?
A lot of alcohol and a free dinner and
it's a big FIBA World Cup qualifier matchup later today.
No,
the Americans are 7.5-point favorites. Total is 182.5.
I got other things to do. Let's recap the bets from the weekend though. If you don't have anything else to add officially, you did have that Spain to nil play, but anything else for you today?
No. Torrey Craig's still on that roster, huh?
Yes or
anyway, no.
Okay, let's grade the bets. For me on
Why
Friday.
Are you so mad?
Not a great World Cup day for me. Went 0-2-1, lost Egypt money line. Argentina didn't cover the two, obviously. And then Colombia gets a push with a 1-0 win over Ghana. In the hot dog eating contest, 2-2 there. The combined under for Joey Chestnut and Mickey Sudo, never in doubt. That came through with flying colors. The conditions ended up playing out just how we thought they would. Michelle Lesko on the women's side to come in second. We laid a hefty price for that one. Got lucky as hell. Only won by a half a dog, but we will take the dub. And then I am so mad at James Webb in the winner without market to come in second to Joey Chestnut. He had the edge on Bertoletti the entire way and absolutely collapsed. What a choke job from him in the last 2 minutes of this thing to give it up. So very disappointed on that. I thought one of those two, I thought Webb or Esper could maybe leapfrog Bertoletti behind Chestnut. Webb was the biggest contender for that. Did not happen, sadly.
Yeah, luckily it wasn't a literal choke job. That would have been a problem.
I know. Then we could have had a reversal, and then he would have been disqualified, and that's a whole thing.
By the way, if you notice, you know, that's why I try to teach you all the time. I sat and sang your praises about your run in the FIFA World Cup, and look what happened on Friday.
Yeah, way to go. Way to ruin it.
I mean, that's why I tell you not to do it. I did not do well. Colombia, Ghana, first half under, half goal, plus 185, didn't get there. Colombia regulation win paired with that and a parlay, did not get there. England minus 1.5, almost got there, 4-1. But English to advance, minus 155, ends up getting there. Nothing to add today.
Last thing on this one, as we discussed the hot dog eating contest on the way going out here. We did end up going to the sportsbook together to watch the hot dog eating contest. I was very excited. Very, very disappointed. On the 4th of July... to have to ask to get the hot dog eating contest put on the TVs to begin with. And then even though we were an hour away from the first World Cup match of the day beginning, the pregame show was on every single TV in the book. And even with me asking to put the hot dog eating contest, they put it on this little teeny tiny TV in the corner with no sound. And I had to go home and then rewatch the intro so that I could hear our boy George Shea. I was so disappointed.
Yeah, that one waitress with the really long name was not very helpful for us in any way, shape, or form that day.
Not helpful.
No.
Not helpful at all. I was so disappointed. Like, we showed up for that singular event. We're an hour before kickoff. You can't give us one large TV?
None.
One tiny TV in the corner.
Got to listen to the pregame, I guess, the whole time.
Got a couple mimosas in at least while I was watching it. You saw, I'm a psychopath watching this contest.
Yeah, you were. You had a moment where you completely threw me off and it made me extremely uncomfortable.
Guys,
I did not like it.
I did have the coolest. No, but I'll say, you all saw like my Team USA shirt the other day. Yeah. I had the coolest swimsuit for the 4th of July. It was just a one piece with a gigantic bald eagle face and an American flag. That doesn't say America, 4th of July. I don't know what it does.
$100 if you can name one member of the FIBA qualifying roster tomorrow on the show.
Not doing it.